To get it right, folks. Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, of course, I'm the scorekeeper, and that was Tommy James and the something or others, Money, Money, Mo Money, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, you are listening to the NDB Media Radio Network, and you can always find us over on Facebook, NDB Media. Oh, heck, stick with it. Twitter.com/ NDB Media, and lo and behold, NDBmedia.com and ohgollyg.net. So there we are, and you can find me on Facebook, my public page, my Twitter. Just look for Roger Dean Oriega. Come on, it doesn't take an idiot. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it does. There you go, folks. That's what I have to remind everyone. Good morning, of course, we have the co-host of this glorious program from day one. Of course, he is the big dog. I don't have an intro for him. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I do have an intro for him. Let me see. Because, you know, Sonny is always sucking up to him. Let me see. Do I have an intro for him? I can't. I don't think I have an intro for him right here. I mean, that's oh, man, I'm stalling. Got to go to iTunes. Let's see. Who let the dogs out? Hold on. Let me see. And you know, first of all, while I'm stalling, folks, you have to understand that I'm kind of pissed. I actually cooked breakfast this morning expecting the big dog to be here. And, of course, nah, didn't show up, so it serves me right, folks. But anyway, here is the glorious co-host of Sports Talk with the Guys. It's the big dog. I guess I did. His name's the big dog. It's the big dog. It's the big dog. I guess I did. Good morning, big dog. How are you? You laning something or other? How are you, big dog?
Good morning. It's my fault. My daughter's schedule got changed at the last minute, and they're going early. Yeah, we're going in early,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. Well, we have. Yeah, you're done. We have our second call.
Open the chat room. Open the chat room.
Shut up. I'll open the chat room when I still see fit. Okay, chat room's open. Anyway, and we want to bring on our second co-host of this glorious morning, calling from Southern California, because I'm in East Southern California, if you want to believe that. And the big dog is in Southeast Southern California. He is truly in Southern California. He is going and blowing. He is the dream of every woman on this sports program. And I use that term loosely. He is the dream himself.
I've just closed my eyes again.
Yeah, I think I have.
Climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train. I believe you can get me through the night.
Good last night. Oh, yes, he is Dream, and he did get to me through the night last night, folks. Good morning, Dream. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thanks, guys. Good morning, scorekeeper. Good morning, big dog. Good to be back on air with you guys. I've been missing you last couple weeks. It's been craziness going on past 4th of July. We had a family reunion. All sorts of craziness has been going on. So it's good to be back. Good to be on air with you guys.
It's always a pleasure to have you on. Big Dog, My goodness. There's a lot of stuff going on in Lakerland. Big Dog, tell us, did they get the head coach or not, Brian Scott? Knowing that the Clipper head coach might actually be available. Is it official, Big Dog?
They offered him the job. He is in negotiations right now with the Lakers. But, yeah, the rumors are that the Lakers were holding out for Doc Rivers because, of course, with the whole Donald Sterling mess, everything that I said earlier that everybody just scoffed at me and laughed and said, no, it would never happen, now seems to be coming to fruition. You know, and that, of course, is the fact that if Donald Sterling is still in power when the season starts, Doc Rivers is actually saying he will walk away from his contract. And now Chris Paul, who is also the president of the union, is saying the same thing, that if he is in power, that will not be acceptable to him, and that he will think about walking away from his contract.
Oh, God, Big Dog. Does that mean that the coach, Dan Allen, will be Lakers?
You mean Chris Paul?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
No, not that they'll be Lakers, but the Doc Rivers has always been one of those guys, and every year he pretty much makes whatever team he's working for, the Celtics in the past and the Clippers now. He's very family oriented, so every year during the summer he tries to figure out, am I going to come back or do I want to spend time with my kids? And every year he has come back. But this time, there's going to be a major incentive for him not to come back if Donald Sterling is still in power. And it sure looks like that's what's going to happen, because Sterling is fighting tooth and nail, and I believe he filed another lawsuit, which kind of doesn't make sense to me. Maybe you're more of as far as taxes go and stuff, I know this is more the legalities of it. But he's suing Shelley Sterling, his wife, and the Sterling Trust Fund. Isn't that like suing himself? If he were to win, doesn't he just pay himself?
Yes, it is. But here's the beautiful and glorious contradiction. This is why you guys need to really pay attention. First of all, remember I said at the very beginning of the program, it does take an idiot. Oh, speaking of such, who is not an idiot, and Big Dog, I will answer you in a moment. I want to bring him on right now. He is the glorious man from the south part of America, and he is from where it's bigger is better. Well, so they allege. That's before the operation. It is the man. Clark, I blew that intro, right? It does take an idiot after all.
Well, one thing you did get right, bigger is better, and yes, I am bigger, so I must be better. So it is me, Sonny Clark. Good morning.
Good morning,
Sonny Clark. I wanted to bring you in right away. Did you notice that you weren't even on hold for very long? I mean, I went right
I
to
heard
you
the
even
beep.
Though I didn't go to you. That's because I've had it with Cuervo. Cuervo's saying that I kept them on hold one time for 3 minutes. Well, based on what you've done and everyone else, they've kept them online forever. But anyway.
Hey, they're just lucky. They should feel privileged. I even look at
switchboard.
Switchboard. Yeah, I couldn't even thank you for thinking of the word. I couldn't think of it. They're lucky I even look at the switchboard. So there we go. So, and you were a victim of that, but I knew you were there, but we were talking about something else. But at the same time, I could have beeped you in like you just did for me. Thank you very much. How are you doing this morning, gentlemen?
Very good. Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah. Sonny Clark, I always, to use your phrase, beep you in all the time. So that's okay, folks. I always beep him in. So it's good. We are talking about the Lakers this morning. There is a lot of news. Sonny Clark, hold on. Hold on to your pantalones, because, Sonny, we're already deep into it. What a shock. Big Dog, the reason why he sued her and the estate thingy is because if it does, for whatever reason, stand up in court that he was, and I use this term loosely, relieved of his duties and or faculties, he is just covering his bases. I have learned this as of late. I have argued with my attorney of when my situation began, and they've gone way back, and now I understand the argument. It's like, oh, okay, it is true. All right. So even though it doesn't logically seem to fit, it actually does. And when the argument is explained to you, then you'll understand. It's not whether he is suing himself. It's you have to cover that. Let's just say he does sue her and is successful, but he sues her, who and she was acting under the authority of the estate. Well, that means the estate is held harmless. Believe it or not, Big Dog. And if he is suing, as everyone seems to think, and this is funny, that he's suing himself, so what? Who gives a crap? He wins. Think about it. If he sues himself and wins, he won.
Courtkeeper.
I don't know, funny. Do you think that's about right? If you sue yourself and win, what happens? You win, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think I'm just not awake enough to understand the thinking of that, because, you know, suing yourself seems to be a waste of time and money. I mean, you got to pay for your own attorney, then you have to pay yourself for the defense, pay another attorney. I don't know. I think I'm just waking up. It don't make any sense to me.
Yeah, you're just waking up. Guys, by the way, if he doesn't allegedly sue himself, he does lose. And Dream, I think you know where I'm going with this, because if he rolls over, he does lose control of the team, and he does lose the sale on his terms. So
yeah, the only,
I don't
the
understand.
Only thing,
yeah, go ahead, Dream.
Yeah, the only thing the way it's going to benefit him is he's going to get the correct statements about himself in legal documents, which means he wants to get in legal documents one that his wife was not in the correct was not legally in the right standing to be able to sell the team. Because two, he was in the correct mental faculties, and three, he wants to retain the leadership or ownership of the trust, and he wants to be the governing body behind it. So I think that's the main reason he has to sue, I mean, no matter what. Otherwise, again, like you said, scorekeeper, sale goes through, boom, boom, he's done. You know, and he needs to try to retain ownership every legal faculty. He has to prove that he remains the owner and remains financially liable and responsible and every other aspect of the game. So that's the main reasons why I believe he's allegedly suing his wife and his trust.
Now,
to get the right words on paper.
Going back to you, Big Dog, is he now, are they going through a divorce, he and Sterling? Or I'm sorry, well, yeah. Yeah, he and Sterling are going through a divorce. Is Sterling suing?
No. No. They're still married, per se. But the one thing I wanted to ask you said when you talked to your legal attorney, I was just wondering when is that still the same attorney that from that firm you go to, Dewey Cheatham and Howe?
Sounds about right.
That was funny. Actually, this schmo is actually licensed through the state of California and several other states, so that's neither here nor there. That was funny, Big Dog. Look, guys, if he wins this lawsuit, he's going to keep control of the Lakers through the legal entity that's been established.
Clippers.
And
Clippers.
What?
Clippers.
Oh, whatever. Whoever. So anyway, he keeps control of the Clippers, of the Joe DiMaggio's of the world. And he's going to be able to make the decisions, and he's probably going to be able to go after the trust, saying, you took this illegal action against me, so guess what? The person that took the illegal action against me was my wife, so she gets cut out of the deal. Oh! Yeah, guys, trust me. The man is crazy, but he's only securing one thing, and that's his billfold now.
The thing with that though, in the court, his team is are literally on the defensive been the whole time, because his antics have been a little bit out there while he's been in court, and also just this week they were also doing the financials of it that were released behind everything, and I guess there is this firm that does that crunches all the numbers and such, and they're saying right now that the Clippers. The offer by the billionaire that's going to buy them is 12 times what their estimated annual value is worth. And that is way and above and over what anyone has ever paid in the history of all sports, any sports franchise. They said the most that's ever been paid, I believe they said it was 4 times its annual salary or earnings, excuse me. And Ballmer, the billionaire, is paying 12 times the amount. Now, if you go by what Sterling says he could have gotten a better offer than what the $2 billion offer is right now. He says he could have gotten possibly $3 to $4 billion for the Clippers, which, of course, is outrageous, you know, and only playing into the hands of Shelley Sterling and her group, showing that this guy is crazy, that he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And he keeps saying that if he would have been in charge of the sale, he would have gotten $3 to $4 billion easily, which, of course, all the numbers are just showing that that just isn't there. And, in fact, Ballmer is paying way over what the Clippers are worth. As I said, it's 12 times the amount of their yearly earnings, I believe is what it was, is how they went by it. Not quite sure. I'm
okay, well,
correctly.
Wow. Guess what, Big Dog? When people start realizing, it's interesting that you use that term. There's a financial term for that. It's called P&E ratio, price-to-earnings ratio. Let me tell you something. If these alleged boneheads put a price-to-earnings ratio of 12 in the financial world, that is a bargain. You guys need to look this up, and I'll tell you why. Right now, a good, well, it depends who you talk to, but a good price-to-earnings ratio, and hold on to your pants and your cocksuckers for this, folks, it is a 17.
What?
Whatever. 17. I was talking about a team. Anyway. A price-to-earnings ratio that is reasonable is 16 or 17, and you just said the Clippers' price-to-earnings ratio is 12? That
you know, it wasn't a price-to-earnings ratio. They did not use that term. What they were talking about, like I said, though, people that have bought in sports franchises in the past have the most that they've ever paid is 4 times the amount. This is 3 times above that.
I got that, but you said you did use 12 times their earnings.
Yeah, let me look
you
it up.
You did say that. Okay.
Yeah, let me see if I can find
all
it.
All right, let me do the research.
I'm out.
Okay, look. That's why I said really 12 times their earnings? So anyway, so if people start realizing this, I think there's going to be an inflation when it comes to these teams all of a sudden when they start establishing price-to-earnings ratio. That's why when these guys, and I said allegedly, whatever. The Clippers may be a bargain if it's 12 times their earnings. Seriously. In the business world?
Yeah, because, well, not just that. You're also looking at what lawyers are calculating, what everybody's calculating, is what they've been worth in the past 5 to 10 years. You know, and they're not looking at projected growth. because you can't do that. You can't say, well, next year I'm going to do... No, you got to look at numbers. You got to have paper. You can't use trending numbers to project future when you're dealing with the sale. You have to say, look, this is what it is now.
Contraire, mon frère. And I say that because that goes...
Well, if you're on the selling end, but on the buying end, you don't have to listen to it.
Well, on the buying end, you don't have to listen to it, but, you know, especially with what's going on. And this is also, don't forget about, I mean, he may be nuts, and I'm talking about Sterling. He knows that there's going to be new TV revenue coming in the next few years as well. Okay, forget LeBron James and his contract. Sterling doesn't want to be left out of that part of it as well. So I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But, you know, the nutcase that is one Donald Sterling, he may be nuts, but he also knows business, and he knows that there's going to still be more money that this team could be worth because of that sale within the next couple of years. So he can bring that up as far as the future of what the income of this team could be and put that towards what he's trying to sell it for.
All right, I got it here, guys. The expected earnings of them.
There you go. All right. Then, Peter, it's very simple. Expected earnings. They're talking about P&E ratio. Expected earnings. There's no other word for it. If they're giving it a 12, that's a bargain in pure financial terms. And it means nothing if it's a theater, a sports team, an electric company, or Microsoft. If you have a P&E of 12, that's a steal. And believe it or not, guys, that's what that comes down to is basically whatever it's selling for, you're basically saying I will pay 12 times that for the type of investment that I'm going to get. And there are people that pay 17, 18, 20 times that for established stocks. And a lot of people do say 16, 17, depends who you're talking about. That is a decent expected price-to-earnings ratio. A 16 to 17 is reasonable. So in other words, you're paying 17 times the expected earnings. So in other words, they're paying a dollar in earnings to the investors, the shareholders, or the owners, but you're willing to pay 17 times that. That's what price-to-earnings ratio means, that I'm going to get a dollar in dividend for the year, but I'm willing to pay 17 for it. But you have an ownership stake. So that's the thing. That's what that means. So, Big Dog, I think all these people are reaching for these numbers, seriously, because I don't know if these are public documents anyway. They're just estimated like everyone.
No, these are public documents that were released this week. It was by Bank of America because Bank of America is negotiating the sale between Ballmer and the Sterling Foundation. And it says Ballmer's $2 billion final bid is 12.1 times the expected 2014 revenues of the team.
I'm sure Bank of America is getting that 0.1.
That does also.
So it says the total operating revenue for 2013-2014 is projected to be about $100 million.
Okay, revenue is different.
And that's what they're going by. Since valuation multiplies is usually based on total revenues of $164.9 million before player costs that are expected to be more than 12 times less than the $2 billion price sale. So the total operating revenue was going to be about $100 million.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If their revenue is $164 million, after entire cost of the team, player salaries, player cost, everything, fees to the league, Yeah, that's overpriced by a lot. That could be a price-earnings ratio of somewhere near 20 to 24.
Balmer, you're an idiot.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. They were saying, and they were saying that the sports, and I was wrong on the sports franchises. The most anybody has ever paid, they said, was six times the amount. So he's above that, way above that. He's twice the amount of anybody's ever paid for a sports franchise ever. So that's going to go on the Sterling side, the Sterling, Shelly Sterling side, as far as that's concerned. But of course, you know, as we've all talked about it in the past, Donald Sterling is going to fight tooth and nail, probably till his last breath, because he's pretty much lived in court his entire life for various reasons.
Yeah, and guys, also, you need to consider this. This is a man who has the means. He has attorneys on retainer already. That's why I love when people say, well, you know, such and such an agency spent so much on this, on these legal fees, but those are already programmed costs. And anytime they go to court, those are the real costs because you budget a certain amount of money. And when they say, well, they spent $168 million on this case, how much could that have been used somewhere else? You know, you morons. That's insane. The Derek Jeters of the world, if they had another 100 at-bats, do you know what they could have done? Do you know how many career years they could have had? You moron. God.
That's why I don't listen.
Career years.
That's why I don't listen to that crap. It's just crap.
That's what it is. It's just crap. Now, is he in the chat room? Is Coffee in the chat room? No, he's not. But I do know that Coffee does listen, and I'm going to put him on blast right now. For those of you that know,
I knew it sooner or later.
Yeah.
I was in the chat room the other day, and I found this quite humorous.
Yeah. Well, for those of you that know and don't know, someone posted. Someone posted on, I think it was either my personal page or my Facebook, my public page, about Derek Jeter, and it was nice.
It was
really cool. Yeah. Sure. I believe it.
That was
me. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Hey, Dream. I'm not going to put you on blast, but you know, I'm going to let them all try to figure out who the Doubting Thomas is. But anyway, folks, fact of the matter is, a poll from Derek Jeter was on my page, and of course, you got to find it. And then Coffee, of course, tried to slam me when it comes straight to the numbers, and I really thought it was so amusing because the post had to do with Derek Jeter passing Lou Gehrig. Do you remember what it was, Reem? Was it for most doubles?
Yeah, most doubles in a career as a Yankee in franchise history.
Yeah. Hey, folks, the thing was, the comment which I refuse to answer, is that Derek Jeter is overrated. And I almost bit on it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
He has a way of doing that.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? And I sat back and I admired it. I'm like, that son of a bitch. He almost got me.
He's trying to egg you in.
And he did. And he did get me. But I was like, all right, hold on. So I'm all like debating the response, trying to be cool about it. And then I said, oh, Gavin's going to be a dick about this now. And I basically put in Roger Eve, dude, shut your mouth, lest you let everyone know how stupid you really are.
Well, then he came back and said Craig Biggio was a better shortstop. So, yeah, he went ahead and did so, and you didn't even tell him.
Yeah, I ignored it at that point because I wasn't going to get baited in. And he almost got me. And my props to Coffee, seriously. He almost did it. So, but I don't understand where his argument is. Craig Biggio, he says statistically is better. I'll look at the numbers, but when did I say Craig Biggio was not worthy of anything? I don't understand. And Craig Biggio's not in the Hall of Fame, right? So I
right.
guess I sarcastically said Derek Jeter is a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's the first time I've ever said it. For a player who's playing right now. And I guess I know he listens. He flipped out. So I decided to go and follow the batshit crazy of everyone here and say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think he flipped because Craig Biggio is not in the Hall of Fame. And he said his numbers are statistically better. Okay. Yeah, Tommy John should be in the Hall of Fame, dude, but he ain't there.
Right.
Yeah, and no, like, and by the way,
well, Craig Biggio also played for the Houston Astros, so what do you expect?
Yeah.
Exactly. When you're a Yankee, you automatically get at least a consideration for a first ballot.
Oh, that was a good dream. Big Dog, as your next commissioner in baseball, I will, as I have mentioned this to you in the past, Big Dog, Couch Potato, and Dream, I will open up Hall of Fame batting to, or Hall of Fame voting to the fans. And I will open up a unique period where fans can actually vote, and we will consider the opinion of the fans, the ultimate user of baseball, whether certain players should be in the Hall of Fame or not. And yes, that places Tommy John on the ballot. It may place Shoeless Joe Jackson on the ballot. It may place Pete Rose. It may place Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. And it also put Mark McGwire, and it will also put Barry Bonds on there. Holy crap, Big Dog, do I have your vote as the next commissioner of baseball?
Who gets the final say? You say you'll take the fans' opinion into consideration. Who gets to decide? Who's the final say on that consideration?
Oh, I love you, Big Dog. Thank you for establishing that. Sonny Clark, who, and once again, folks, as the next commissioner of baseball, I am now asking Sonny Clark, who gets the final say? And Sonny may not know the answer to this, so I'm going to go to Dream. Dream, as your next commissioner of baseball, who gets the final say?
I do. Ah, damn it. All right, fine.
Well,
I
would assume, since we are talking to the next commissioner of baseball, I assume the next commissioner of baseball will have the final say.
Actually, honestly, this is what I would do. And I did mention this as I've done it over several programs. Look, guys, there is a genuine argument with the steroid stuff. And there's some genuine argument when it comes to gambling, to cheating, and there are some issues in baseball. Maybe it's good for the game, maybe it's not. But I believe we do need to move on. Right or wrong, we need to move on. And I am willing, and I said this, in negotiations with the players' union and the owners, that we look at opening something akin to a plebiscite, and we find out what the fans want. And I would probably say over a one-year period, find out who is not in the Hall of Fame and who should be considered. Over a second year, this would take probably 3 years, it would be a once-in-a-lifetime event, over the second year, determine whether the fans would have a say or not, and if they do, in the third year, finally vote on it and determine it. Because right now, guys, the Baseball Writers Association of America, they make every decision, and that's it. That's it.
So,
and we know that the writers are biased. They have shared with us that they are biased. Okay, if you're biased, that's fine. So are the fans.
So if we go by what the fans say, do we open another section of the hall and call it Hall of Fame, kinda?
No, it's the People's Hall of Fame. Sort of like the People's Champ. It's the People's Hall of Fame.
It's purgatory. Who are we calling? Let's get spiritual here. It's purgatory. You're neither in nor out. But see, at least ain't going the other direction.
That was a good dream, because when you mentioned purgatory, I said, oh, man, they're screwed. But I like what you said. They're neither in nor out. That's funny. No, this would be, if it turns out to go that way, they, you know, that's why. Guys, I put it on my platform. This is something that I would open up. And if it does, if we choose to consider the fan opinion that they should be in there, then when it comes time to voting, the fans will vote. And I am considering opening up the vote to fans as well. And this is how I would do it. Season ticket holders get a vote. Owners get a vote. Players do not get a vote. Because that's kind of, you know, like, God, I'm voting yourself. All right? And the average fan also gets a vote, the one that does not buy a season ticket.
Hmm.
And they can vote. They buy a ticket and they register. And we know who they are, and they get one vote. I think that's fair. And that way, it's not done on the internet where someone can vote 90 billion times for their R-star favorite.
No, I have to throw this out there. What about teams with larger fan bases, more popular teams, more like the Yankees versus the Reds?
Ah, here we go.
I'm just throwing it out, or the Astros, for funny. You know,
but
you know, where you
said.
See per ticket, you get one vote per ticket?
No, no. Obviously, you have to go to a game. That's the thing. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, owners, listen up. Revenue stream. Anyway, everyone who gets a vote has to pay. So anyway, you buy one ticket. That's it. That's it. No, a season ticket holder does not get 81 votes. They do not get 81 votes. A season ticket holder gets one vote. But we already know who the season ticket holders are. That's what I'm saying. And the other fans, all they have to do is buy one ticket. When you buy one ticket, you get a vote. And that's it. Not buy 90 tickets and you get 90 votes. No. And this takes away from the little weasel fans in Boston that will vote 90 million times for Dustin Pedroia.
I like Dustin Pedroia.
I do too. Actually, I do too. But we do know that there are little boys out there and little girls that have no lives, and they will stay on the internet voting forever. I think that those little boys and girls deserve a vote too, but this is America, and guess what? You get one vote. That's it. That's it. You get one vote, one name.
There's no way to monitor that, though.
Wait,
this is
America.
Oh, my God,
Sonny
Clark. Yes, there is.
Not from the little boy that lives in the basement of his mama's house.
Sonny, yes, there is.
Sonny,
you have to buy
there's an
ticket.
Easy fix.
It's easy, my God. Everyone has an ID. And you know what? Don't give me this crap. Well, if they don't have IDs, they're going to be disenfranchised. F them. You've got to present yourself as a real person. Done. You present yourself as a
Babe, you're a scorekeeper. Scorekeeper.
Yeah.
This is America.
Yeah.
All we have to do is just bring up all the names and social security numbers of our dead relatives, pile it into the voting booth, and you're good to go. You got at least 20 to 30 extra votes.
Okay, that's how I'm going to get elected to be commissioner. But as far as the Hall of Fame voting, everyone gets one vote. And Sonny, it's very simple. You register to be a part of it. You buy a ticket. I am Roger Noriega. Here's my ID. I am a real person. And you know what? I have my daughters here. Oh, hey, sweetheart, you're 17? May I have your school ID? It's done, Sonny Clark. There's got to be some sort. I mean, Jesus Christ, I'm a poll worker. I know how to do this crap. If you don't have an ID, you don't vote.
If you have to... You know, they're raising hell about voting at the poll without an ID, you know. So, you know, come on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Holy crap. I've been thinking about him all week. I can't believe it. Sonny, Big Dog, Scream. Stall with me. Argue with me because I got to find you. Oh, my God. We got a visitor in the chat room. Holy crap. There's some sort of connection. I had a connection with the favorite Knucklehead. Oh, my God. Where the hell is this song? I can't find this song. Oh, my God.
Find this song. What the hell?
Ah, I can't find it. Oh, wait. Search library.
You know, guys.
By the way, just to throw this out, while you're
he's repeating what Mrs. Scorekeeper tells him all the time. I can't find it.
Oh,
well,
anyway,
that was pretty funny.
That was pretty funny. But now, getting serious, Dream, I ask you to bear with us a moment. Sonny Clark, you know who it is, and Big Dog.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this is a man
who's been in the chat room for like 10 minutes.
Shut up. I just noticed, okay? He heard me slamming coffee. Well, there was a connection.
Wow.
You know what? He was sitting at his computer, and he's like, I feel a disturbance in the force. He came up over. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the one-second delay, it's not going to be good, so I just want to play a song. This man is our hero. This man has saved our bacon on so many occasions. We love him. We respect him. We admire him. If there's anyone that truly knows baseball, and I say this straight up, because I've been told I'm the baseball guy, no. I bow and I genuflect to Tim McLeod. And yes, there he is, ladies and gentlemen. Makes his appearance felt. He is our hero. He is the man. Always rise to assist because he is the greatest Knucklehead, Tim McLeod. Oh, my God. Tim is in the chat room. Oh, my God. It's great. Thank you, Tim. You did feel the disturbance in the force. Oh, and horse. Yeah. Horses and horse. Wow. Tim, I don't think I've ever blown anyone on air, dude. I just did.
No, you did. You did.
Well,
so much you have a brown tint on your nose.
Oh. Well, for Tim, I will readily admit to having the brown stuff there. Sonny, who else did I allegedly do this to?
I got it on recording that you did. I thought it was quite scary, but you know, there it is.
Quite scary, whatever. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, as your next commissioner of baseball, I would fire the director of operations, in other words, the second guy, and sorry, Big Dog, sorry, Sonny, sorry, Dream, but I would put in charge of baseball operations, it would be Tim McLeod. That's just saying, because when you're running for office, you cannot promise anyone a position. You guys know that, right? That
yes.
When you're running for office, and they say, you're running for president, sir, who would be your vice president? You cannot answer that because you are, by definition, promising that position to someone, and you have broken the law. So, but since this is not a public voting, Tim McLeod would be my man for baseball operation. In a heartbeat. That means, Tim, you get to punish all the players that have been bad.
That sounded creepy, scorekeeper. That sounded very creepy.
You know, that comes from two union men, so that's okay. Zeke is in the chat room! Morning, Zeke. Anyway, guys, we're going to continue with sports talk with the guys. Poor Zeke's been in the chat room forever, and I haven't even acknowledged him. Sorry, Zeke. Believe it or not, even though your name is in capital letters, I still saw Tim McLeod before you. So sorry, Zeke. Zeke is our man. He is our man from the Hidden Valley, and I think it's great. It's great. Tim says that he would end the labor disruption. Oh, hell yeah! I think it's great. So folks, we're going to continue this morning. Big Dog, is there any other basketball news that you want to get into, or shall we move on to baseball?
Just for the Lakers, I don't know if you would consider it lucky or or what, but we picked up Carlos Boozer for we got him on the cheap for only $3 million. You know, and the Bulls need to pick up the rest of his $16 million contract, so the Bulls are on the hook for a little over $13 million, and we got him for three.
Yep.
He'll supply the scoring punch we need. We need some scoring, but it's probably just going to be for the 1 year, and he'll go elsewhere to get a big contract again. He's going to try and prove himself, so this will be a contract year that we always talk about. So if Boozer has anything left in his tank, he's going to have a good showing for us this year.
I think Carlos Boozer as just a player, like if we were to get like him for a regular kind of salary, I'd be like, okay, sure, why not? You know, I think that the main focus is that we got him for super cheap, you know, because
yep.
that leaves us with the flexibility, leaves us with the cap space for next year, you know, and then you got to talk about insanity coming to the Lakers.
Why?
You got to represent our Asian brothers, man, come on.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dream. You do have a vested interest in that. But actually, that would probably have to recuse you if you think about it.
Oh, man. It amuses more than anything.
Gentlemen, I'm going to be a pig right now. What a shock. That of the four men present here, two of the men, Big Dog and myself, stayed within our... I don't want to say if I'm going to say culture. I guess it would be race. And Dream and Couch Potato did not. They decided to try something else on the menu.
Well, I would like to clarify that just by saying, yes, I married.
Oh, no, that's right. You went crazy.
I married.
So that means,
I dated out of my, as you say, race many times.
You know... All right, fine. If we're going to go there, I would have to stay quiet on it as well. I'm going to refer back
to our original interview with our author friend. And you remember who this is, Scorekeeper. I know you do. He's a very famous author. And he said he wrote so he could – when he was a kid, he never got to go anywhere. And so he wrote – so that he could travel the world. You remember who that was?
As a matter of fact, yes. Alan Dean Foster, folks. The famous
yes.
Alan Dean Foster. A Dream.
Yes.
Remember, he said he was so poor, he couldn't go anywhere. And
yep.
that's why he wrote.
And I'm gonna paraphrase that. You know, I never got to travel the world as a kid. So I dated from every... corner of the world. And I got so good food. Literally food. I mean, I've tried like grits and all sorts of weird Asian foods and everything and European, Russian types of foods. It was very fun. And I settled on Vietnamese and I love my wife dearly and I'm the luckiest man in the world because she knows how to make pho.
And
for those of you
Dream.
Who have not tried it, you should try it.
Well, that's reassuring. Thank you, Dream, and thank you for that. And knowing that you've now made it clear, I guess we can talk Linsanity. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, Jeremy Lin's a Laker now. I mean, it's exciting news. We actually have a starting point guard that can actually play. Can at least carry the ball back and forth without falling down and hurting his knees, and has been in the league more than 2 years. So apparently the Lakers have been after him for quite some time. He's either been a part of and left the Lakers twice before. The Lakers have approached him twice before to try to claim him, and he ended up going to other teams. And now third time's the charm, I guess. He's here. So we're going to hope that he is at least capable of running the ball back and forth every single game. I think that's the biggest hope. Get the ball to Boozer,
right, well,
get the ball to Kobe. You're good.
We did lose Sonny Clark, and I'm
hoping
we get him back. Sonny, I know you're in the chat room. Hopefully we get you back in a little bit. Big Dog, Lynn Sanity, now with the Lakers. I rolled my eyes when I heard that he was on the Laker team, but Dream does believe that this is a positive. What's your take on it?
He is a capable point guard. You know, it is good to know that we would, at least this season, have a point guard. We wouldn't have to worry about, you know, who's going to be the point guard for the day or for this game or for that game, because Steve Nash, unfortunately, should retire because of his injuries, but he's going to try and give it a go once again. And, you know, ever since we picked up Steve Nash 2 years ago, he was always penciled in to be the starting point guard and, you know, facilitating the offense, and that's just never happened. And it's been a meshed up way of trying to figure out who's going to be the guard. So now that we have an actual point guard that's been in the league for a couple of years, he's capable of it. Is he a premier point guard? No, he's not. But he is capable of getting the job done, getting the ball up and down the court, and distributing the ball where it should. So we should.
Well, let's not forget,
offense,
this is his highest. He's coming off of his highest career numbers as far as like shooting efficiency and everything else goes. This is his highest three-point efficiency, his highest field goal percentage, and his highest free throw percentage this last year. You know, so I mean, he is showing a drastic improvement. You know, so I think we should be looking forward to him. Not necessarily this next year. You know, but maybe two years. You know, once he starts getting established in the system a little bit more. You know, once Byron Scott has his say and puts everything together, working with Kobe, Kobe straight out told him, we got a lot of work to do. You know, and that's one of his quotes. You know, and that's true. You know, they've got a lot of work. So I mean, I want to look for a drastic improvement this year. You know, but maybe 2-3 years down the road, you know, we could be looking at a solid team.
Yeah, that's true. The problem, though, is depending on how Lynn performs this year, is he going to want another crazy contract? Because, I mean, you have to admit, the contract that he was given, that 3-year contract, was way over what he was worth. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. He is a capable point guard. Is he a premier point guard? No, he's not. But I wasn't talking about his offensive skills. I'm just talking about his point guard.
No, you're right.
You know, so yeah. Even if he has, you know, what a second career year.
Oh God.
you know, will he want crazy money? Because unfortunately, he's not worth crazy money, and hopefully, he'll realize that. But I don't know if the Lakers are actually looking to keep him for more than the 1 year, because you know, as you said, they're keeping that salary cap open for next year, although all the big names are pretty much gone, but they're still hoping for something big to happen, you know, so.
Yeah, no point guards are going to be available probably for the next couple of years. I mean, unless you get somebody amazing in the draft, you know, you're looking at, right now you're looking at Kevin Love. Kevin Love doesn't go this year, he's free agent next year. And I'm pretty sure the Cavs are going to pick him up. You know, I mean, I hope not, because that would just be ridiculous. I don't think there's any other bet that he's going to go anywhere else. I think the Cavs should have taken. I mean, I think the Timberwolves should have taken a different trade. However, you know, I'm not. I wouldn't work for either team, so I can't really make that arrangement. But yeah, you know, Kevin Love might end up on the Timberwolves. We're not going to go.
Okay, now, guys, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Wiggins was just signed to his deal.
Yeah.
Meaning the team, the Cavaliers, cannot trade him for 30 days.
Correct.
So this is going to put a kibosh to this. If we believe the rumors out there, the deal was done, and it required the first two draft Wiggins this year, last year's draft, and they were haggling whether it would be next year's or a conditional. Big Dog.
Mm.
Yes.
Is that deal still going to happen?
No. I said this one before. You're giving up too much potential, because Wiggins is potentially an all-star. you know, the other guys that are going for is also the potential is just too much. Love, yes, will get you the scoring now and the rebounding now. His defense is suspect. He's an average defender, and that's giving him a little bit on that one. But I don't see Kevin Love as the guy, you know, to say, oh, we got Kevin Love. Man, that, you know, we're on our way to the championship. I don't ever equate that with Kevin Love. He's
well,
not
would you put that with LeBron James and you're in trouble.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, though, I mean, will he? Like I said, you're getting your let's say 23 and 14, 23 and 12 from him this year and maybe next year. After that, what are you getting from him? He's been in the league for a while. You know, he scores down low. It's not like he's just a jump shooter. So I mean, there's wear and tear on the body. Now you're getting two maybe three good years from him. Versus the potential of Wiggins and the other guys that have 10 to 12 years to give you, or whoever they're going to be with. I think you're giving up too much for Kevin Love now.
I don't know. As far as the Cavs, sorry, scorekeeper. I don't know if the Cavs are giving up that much, honestly. Like Wiggins, yes, I get it. You know, Bennett didn't really pay out last year. You know, he's rookie, like he was the number one draft pick. He didn't have too great of a year. Maybe it was just because he was in the Cavs system. You don't know. I don't know. But he showing a little bit of promise this year, supposedly, you know, in the summer and everything else. But, I mean, he's not panning out how they had hoped. So I don't think they mind too much getting rid of him. A future pick is probably worth more than him. The future first round pick is probably worth more than him right now. But I really think that the Timberwolves should have gone with a more solid offer. I think Golden State was going to give them I forgot who it was. They'd put together a package, but some solid players that would give solid numbers, and they just didn't have that you know, superstar value, but it was a package of players. And I think what the Cavs are trying to hold out for from Cleveland is they're trying to get more out of them, and Cleveland doesn't want to give more. They're like, we're giving you everything you got. What do you want, LeBron too? You know, the Timberwolves are trying to milk this out, and they're trying to let all the different teams kind of fight against each other to try to give them a better deal, which is just smart business, you know, and them
gentlemen,
holding out.
Yeah, look,
yep.
Dreama, on this one, I've got to tell you that all of a sudden the Cleveland Cavaliers are under pressure to put a team that's going to win. Getting LeBron James back is like the coup of coups. But all of a sudden to keep LeBron, because he does have a 1 year out, is you got to put a team around him now. And that is why the Cavaliers are in an interestingly difficult position. And the rest of the league knows that. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are trying to get everything they can from the Cavaliers because they're really not going to get it from Golden State. Look, it's a nice package, but the reality is you want to go for the team that's desperate. And it's possible that someone actually finally told the Cavaliers, you know what, this is too much. It doesn't matter. It's way too much. But the answer is, are you playing for today, or are you playing for tomorrow?
And
that's
you're playing for today.
With the Cavaliers,
you know,
all of a sudden, you're playing for today.
The interesting thing, guys, though, is will this be a straight trade, or will this be a sign-and-trade? Because, remember, he is a free agent, so are you only borrowing him for a year? But, you know, and I think that might be Cleveland's side of it also, saying, okay, we'll give you pretty much the moon that you're asking for, but we want a sign and trade. We want a guaranteed deal of at least 4 to 5 years from this guy. We don't want to give you everything that you're asking for and only borrow him for the season, and then he goes elsewhere. So I think that's another little glitch in it. Also, is that they can get him to commit to a major contract, which the rumors are that he says he would, but of course, until it actually happens,
rumors.
You know, so
yeah, folks. this is a beautiful theme. It's not real until it happens or the contract is signed. We all know that when it comes to the workplace, everything. It's not real until you get the paperwork. And Tim McLeod, this was a few minutes ago, Dream. Tim McLeod actually does have a reprimand for you. When you say you traveled the world, Tim's was no Canadian grub. What are we, chopped liver? So there was a reprimand from our friend.
Chopped moose liver. Chopped moose liver.
Oh, ouch, chopped moose liver. Okay, fair enough, folks. There we go. We are now in the third quarter here on Sports Talk with the Guys. We're doing very well. We have an hour left. Folks, we're going to go over some baseball stuff yesterday. Sonny Clark, I beg you, Sonny Clark, to rejoin us because the Clarkmeister and I got into a bit of a little tiff. And his tiff was that when are the Yankees going to realize that their season is done? And not only when their season is done, when are they going to start selling off the players and bring up rookies? And I, of course, well, and I'm paraphrasing now, I pretty much told the couch potato to go F off and die. Oh, no, I didn't say that. I said, Sonny Clark, the Yankees don't do that. What you're talking about is what 29 other teams do. And, of course, Sonny Clark's line was, oh, well, maybe they don't declare it publicly, but that's what they do. And I again told him, no, sir, you are mistaking the Yankees for every other team, and the Yankees don't do that. But, fine, let's now take a look at what happened from last week when Mr. Clark said the Yankees, when are the Yankees going to call their season and do as he suggests? Sonny Clark, the Yankees made two deals last year when they were 47-47, or last week, and they got a third base from the Padres, and they now picked up another pitcher, Capuano, who was with the who was with the Red Sox and then went to the Rockies. But the Yankees are basically sucking this year, and I said so. But, Sonny, the Yankees don't give up. They never do. They never will. And I think that's what really gets on everyone's nerves, is the fact that the Yankees do play by their own rules, and thank God they do. Because you know what's the only thing that the Yankees are going to do? Seriously? And this is why I am a Yankee. Is they're going to go out every day, and they're going to put the best team out on the field to win today. They did it since Steinbrenner, and they're doing it today. Nothing has changed. And I thank the almighty Yankee God in heaven for that.
Amen.
Yes. And I say you're welcome. I say you're welcome. Yes, Big Dog, before I go to Dream.
Just to in case Mr. Clark has not noticed, but your team has gone in the last 10 games, they're 8-2. They've won 4 in a row. And right now they are in the playoffs, in the wild card spot, tied with the Angels. Toronto is a game behind them, but right as of right now, the Yankees are in the playoffs.
Well, with a record back from the East, right?
Yep, three games back from the East,
in,
and with
guys,
a record of 54-48.
Which is still pretty sucky. But anyways, guys, and I'm the first one to admit it. They're not doing well. And Tim, thank you, buddy. I think Tim and I are on the same thing as. They're going to do what it takes. They're going to do what it takes. And it's easy for me to say from last week to this week, oh, yes, the Yankees are now the hottest team. No, they're not the hottest team. They're
the second hottest
team.
No, they're not.
Yeah. The Rays are the hottest team. The Yankees are the second hottest. But that doesn't matter. I was thinking like a Red the other day because I'm like, okay, wait. The Yankees, for the last 8 days, except for the Rays, are America's best team. And I was thinking to myself, that's how the Cincinnati Reds think. That for this period, they're the best at baseball. That's a Cincinnati Reds fan right there. So
yeah.
I'm not. My point to you, Sonny, is when the Yankees were in third or even in fourth at 47-47 at the All-Star break, the Yankees are still wheeling and dealing. I don't like the trades they make often, Capuano, but I love my team for trying. And you know what? As a baseball fan, and this is where I say F you to every other baseball fan, my team actually does try. Unlike your team that watches its numbers, it looks at the fans that are coming in and says, okay, I'm going to make this amount of money and I'm good with it. Because I have the suckers that if I don't make a trade, they're still going to come through the turnstile. Yankee fans, if they don't get a product, they don't show up. They don't. And that's why I love it. So the Yankees have to perform. And that's why I love that trade. And I love what they do. And you know what? I like it. And Tim McCloud, thank you. The Yankees will fight to the bitter end. They will. They will. And that's why I like it. Dream, why don't you give me second amen and let me hear it, brother.
It's true. We do. I mean, we do what Yankees do. There's a problem. We don't give up, and we throw money at it, and it goes away. You know, so it's what we do every season, and we get to enjoy it in the postseason. You know, and we get to at least have a playoff run. You know, that's what we do. I mean, we brought in the third baseman, and what is he gets two RBIs. We bring in the pitcher Capuano, and we win. You know, that's what we do. You know, if there's a piece in the equation that's missing, we figure out what it is and we throw money at it and it works. And you know, we're looking at the West Coast. You know, you have to appreciate the Dodgers. You know, Puig comes back, all of a sudden he's in center field and they win like crazy. What is it, 7-0, 7-1, something like that, something ridiculous.
Yesterday he had three triples.
Three
and a double. And a double. Hey, Tim, I need your help, brother. When was the last time someone had three triples in a game? I mean, that might go back to Ty Cobb, baby. I need your help, Tim. When was the last time someone had three triples? But, all right, that's Yasiel Puig. But, yeah, and a double. And the Dodgers, they won 7-0 in center field. And there was some question, can he play center field? So, Dream, okay, 8-1, thanks for that. But funny, they put him out there, huh? Wait, he's a long ways back, says Tim.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's true, man. I mean, Puig had an amazing game, you know, and he was rested up and he's good. He's probably recovering from the needle in his arm, you know, I don't know. But he's just an amazing being amazing, you know. And I was having a conversation with my brother-in-law, you know, we're watching the Dodger game, and I was like, dude, how many of these players are going to end up in Yankee uniforms before the end of their career? We got, because the Yankees have a great pitching staff. I mean, the Dodgers have a great pitching staff. They got Greinke, you know, they got Kershaw, you know, and I was like, dude, most likely, at least one of these players is going to end up in a Yankee uniform. You know, they've got Puig. Most likely will end up in a Yankee uniform at some point in his career unless, you know, he gets beat up and deported. I don't know. But I wouldn't argue. And he was like, man, shut up. He's a big Dodgers fan. And I'm a big Yankees fan, obviously. So, but I was like, yeah, it's all right. They're doing okay. You know, just wait till they end up in Yankees uniform and they'll be doing even better. It's like a boost to their game when you end up in the Yankees uniform. And
all right. Well, Green, thank you for that. The Big Dog just went ahead and announced it in the chat room. Denard Spann was the last player to have three triples in a game, and it was for Minnesota in 2010. Well, go figure. There you go. Thank you for that.
A long ways away, 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was kind of like the last Star Wars movie. So, anyway, Big Dog, why don't you get ready to give us a standing? I'm going to go ahead and start with the scores for baseball. And, folks, this is the beauty of baseball. Hope springs eternal. We're in July. And to finish my thought against Cass Potato, it's easy for me to say the Yankees are doing much better now as opposed to last week. But, dude, it's just elegant proof that everyone is expecting the Yankees to call it. They're not, and they won't. And that's my point. They still have serious issues. But you know what? I will take my team no matter what, and I'm going to keep them. And I, hey, the big dog remembers when I was a Yankee fan when they sucked. I mean, when they sucked. And I still wore my Yankee cap, didn't I, big dog?
Yes, you did.
I did, I do, and I will. So anyway,
right.
Yesterday for Friday's games in Major League Baseball, folks, Los Dodgers, 8-1 over the Giants, over the hated ones. In 10 innings, Baltimore, 2-1 over Seattle. Yeah, Baltimore, who's creeping up on you, baby? The Los Angeles Angels of Chavez Ravine, 2-1 over the Detroit Tigers. And talk about having all their pistons firing. We're talking about the Angels, even though we might have some bad news with Hamilton. Colorado, 8-1 over Pittsburgh. Dream, that's the guy I want to see in a Yankee uniform. Not Tulowitzki. I want to see McCutcheon. I'll take McCutcheon in a heartbeat. New York Mets, 3-2 over Milwaukee. You can't celebrate that, Zeke, because you're not a Mets fan anymore. Miami, Miami, 2-0 over the Houston Astros. And, of course, Los Reales, America's AAA team, beat the Indios 6-4. The White Sox, and we'll get to the Adam Dunn watch shortly, almost doubled up against the Gemelitos 9-5. The Texas Rangers, 4-1 over Oakland. Wow, there was a pathetic loss. The worst team in baseball beat the best team. Oh, the Los Padres, 5-2 over Atlanta. There you go. Sorry, Braves banter. That was disappointing. Another sucky team beats a allegedly good team. And, of course, the only time I will cheer for the Washington Nationals, when they beat my Cincinnati Reds. Yeah, baby. 4-1. Take that, you commie Cincinnati bastard. And Tampa Bay, the hottest team in baseball, 6-4 over Boston. And, of course, as we mentioned, the Yankees edged Toronto 6-4. Well, they didn't edge, but they beat them 6-4. The Phillies put one together and put it to Arizona 9-5. And finally, the Cubs! The Cubs win! The Cubs win! Oh, my God, the Cubs win! 7-6 over Big Dog. Give us a standing, please.
Sure. In the standings as of today, in the East, it is the Baltimore Orioles in first place, followed by the Yankees 3 games behind, followed by Toronto, Tampa Bay, and the lowly, I love saying it, the lowly Boston Red Sox. In the Central, it is Detroit leading the way with Kansas City 6 games behind, followed by Cleveland, Chicago, and Minnesota. In the West, it is the two best teams in baseball, the Oakland A's leading the way, followed by the L.A. Angels of Chavez Ravine, 2 games behind, followed by Seattle, Washington, and the Texas Rangers. In the National League, in the East is Washington leading the way, followed by Atlanta, 2.5 games behind, followed by Miami, the Mets, and Philadelphia. In the Central, it is still the Milwaukee Brewers leading the way, followed by St. Louis. And, yep, Milwaukee still leading the way at 58-46. St. Louis and Pittsburgh are both tied for second place, 3 games behind, followed by scorekeeper, second favorite team, the Cincinnati Reds and the Chicago.
Oh, no, no. Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't. Big Dog, you're lucky.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize. The scorekeeper's favorite team, the Cincinnati Reds. In the West, it is the San Francisco Giants.
Wacko. You wacko. Why don't you just go
leading
whack
the way. Oh, that was last night. The Dodgers are a half game behind, followed by San Diego, Arizona, and Colorado.
Dream, there's nothing to say, Dream. Just let it go. It's on air. All we got to do is take the first 10 seconds before that quote and the 10 seconds after, and we will not alter that. We're not going to touch
it. Wow. And I thought I was a cheap date.
Oh, my goodness, folks. We do want to welcome everyone in the chat room. We got a little busy chat room. Let's see. Matt Alvarez says, I just posted something important on the network page for you. Well, Matt, you are so right. I'm sure it's important, and I will check it out, knowing that I'm live right now. So that's all good. But I do want to welcome, of course, Laker fan in the chat room, Matt Alvarez, Cuervo, Tarvino, the couch potato who's asleep in the chat room, Tim McLeod, and, of course, the man formerly known as the Mets fan in NBB Media Circles, of course, in Zeke 109 or 1109 or whatever the hell his number is. It changes. It changes all the time. So it's all good. Well, couch potato, get the phone back from your woman and get back in. So, Dream, the two best teams in baseball are in the American League West, and that's the Oakland Athletics by a lot, and the Angels also coming up. I got to tell you, there's going to be a dogfight over there. You've got Oakland 63-39 playing at 6.18 clip. The Angels only 5.98 at 61-41. Gee, that equates to 20 games over 500. And
that's
of course,
it.
Then you have
that's
Seattle
it.
At 53-50.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting over here. I mean, for baseball fans that truly love the game and don't just follow one team, you know, you get a lot of good games over on this end of this country. So you got to enjoy it. I mean, even the Dodgers are doing pretty well. Even if they're not, like, the number one spot, they're exciting to watch. You know, just the play that they do, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We are lucky over here. Big Dog, I always said for a while now that if that team is healthy, they can play with the best of them. And right now, the Angels are just hitting the cover off the ball. Oh, and by the way, your pitching is also doing quite nicely. But what happened to Hamilton last night? I got news that he left in the fourth inning or something? Again? What's up with Hamilton?
Yeah, he got thirsty and he had to go down to the 7-Eleven and grab a 40 and then come back, and he tripped and fell when he was coming back from 7-Eleven. So he's out. We'll have to check on him. Probably he's back again. You know me, I wasn't real happy when we picked him up, but you know he's been a walking injury since he's gotten here. So just another thing for us to keep an eye on.
Yeah,
We do that a lot in LA. We find the big names and then we throw money at them and then they're injured for most of the season. I mean, Steve Nash for the Lakers. You know, you got Hamilton. You got, I mean, you can.
Pujols.
The list goes on and on. Yeah.
Pujols.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we tend to do that a lot. We try to be the Yankees and then we just fail miserably. We try to put together all-stars. Dwight Howard back is injured the whole time. You know? Never recovers, you know. It's just the lingering injury just doesn't pan out the way it does for the Yankees.
No, it doesn't. But Big Dog, I was so thrilled when the Angels signed Hamilton. I was just thankful that the Yankees didn't sign him. Because
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, I said, I'm sorry, Big Dog. Okay, here we go. Oh, Matt Alvarez is telling us that he didn't see us listed today. I'll have to find out what's going on, but all right. Wait a minute, what's his anniversary show is coming up? Holy crap, Matt Alvarez's anniversary show. That's right, it's coming up. So, hey, Matt, why don't you give us some details in the chat room or go ahead and call in. But the man in the chat room says, personally, I'd never tell if I was asleep. Ha, ha, ha. Let me see. Hold on a minute. You're never in the chat room, Matt. Every time I go to the chat room, you're never there. Never in the chat room making fun of the fact that you're never there. Because Matt opens up the chat room and then, well, I don't know. I think it's just funny. But that's okay. Glass house, baby. Just remember, you live in a glass house, pal. The number is 347-637-2306. Matt, let's have some details on your anniversary show. I'm looking forward to it. So, folks, we've already gone over quite a bit of baseball.
I have details on the show.
I'm sorry, what?
I have details on Matt Alvarez's show.
Oh, you do? You do?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an anniversary show.
Well, alrighty then. Yeah, great. I'm sure Matt will share the details with us. So there
can
it is,
you,
folks.
Can, Can I call into the show and play Barney?
No, you shouldn't do that, not for the anniversary show. You should not officially go in under the NDB Media name and play Barney officially. It's just inappropriate for us to officially do that because it's just not right, Big Dog, for us to officially go in there and do that. So you shouldn't do it officially, Big Dog.
So since he's known as Barney Lover 29, if Barney Lover 30 or 31 shows up in the chat room, I guess it would be okay, huh?
He just told you to shut up, dude.
From a legal standpoint, we cannot authorize you to sign in under guest number 5061 and play the Barney theme song. It is not allowed.
Amen. Amen, amen, I say to you. There you go. There was a biblical touch for all of you folks out there. So, hey, guys, we're having a great time. Sonny Clark, I believe you're going to be continuing with the Break It Down show at 8 o'clock. Let me know. We are going to continue with this fine program right now. We are Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We wake you up, and the couch potato, oh, the couch potato, oh, baby, the couch potato just brings it home, except on Friday nights when the Big Dog is busy doing what he does. Sorry. Hey, he said it on air. I didn't. I told him to go do it, and he said he already did, so there you go. Folks, the NFL season is about to start up in just a few days.
Is that why you made him breakfast scorekeeper?
Well, I was talking about inviting Cuervo over. That was good, Big Dog, or Dream. No, it's because I was bribing Cuervo on showing up and then I would have breakfast for him. So instead I kind of wanted to surprise the Big Dog. Because he'd been over last week, first time in 3 years, and I thought, you know, I might get two in a row. And no, you know, I was so confident that he was going to be here with about 3 minutes, you know, with the food right here. I was like, are you en route now? No, I'm going to call in. Cooked for you, you stupid son of a bitch, and you're not going to be here. So when I got that text message holding the plate, I was like, now you understand what I said in the text. Serve me right.
That's what you get for trying to surprise me.
Wow. All I'm going to say, Big Dog, is I never got breakfast after.
Well,
yeah. No, yeah, but see, but at least he gave you the money for bus fare though.
No,
yes,
I'm not
okay.
No. I think Dream came to visit. I don't think I had a car at the time. Oh, folks, we're being stupid now at this point. We're going to continue on. It's the Tarvino. We will start on campus next week, so the Break It Down show is probably going to be moving over to Sundays. So, gentlemen, Friday is available. So if you guys want Friday, it's there. You can use Sports Talk with the Guys. But Sonny Clark should be available. We've got a little less than 40 minutes. We're going to go ahead and continue. There's been quite a bit of news. I think we covered it in basketball and some in baseball. Hockey, yeah, well, hockey, whatever, you know. Oh, wait a minute, Adam Dunn watch. Let's get the Adam Dumb. The Adam Gummy watch out of the way, folks. So let's do that one right now. And the Big Dog and Dream will decide where we're going next. So here we go, folks. Adam Dunn, the biggest and colossal waste of time in all of baseball. But here we go. But I have to give him credit. In the last 10 games, Adam Dunn is now hitting .270. Wow. So he hit two home runs, 8 RBIs. He walked 6 times and he struck out 9 times. He went 10 for 37 and he scored 5 runs. Way to go, Adam Dunn. So, for the season, Adam Dunn is now batting pathetic. Here it is. He's batting .232. His on-base percentage is .366, actually down from last week, which was .360. He is now slugging .439 and his OPS is .806. Oops. That really means oops for him. He has 15 home runs and 42 RBIs. He's walked 60 times, and he has struck out 107. Last week, he was almost 2-1, folks. Remember? Strikeouts to walks. This guy was like one or two walks away from, you know, having that keister number. But he's walked a few more times, so his ratio is not 2-1. Hey, did you know that Adam Dunn has stolen the base this year? That big fat ass has actually stolen the base. Way to go, Adam. But he's also been caught stealing one. So, Adam Dunn, you are baseball's worthiest player. Yeah, I said it. Worthiest. Adam Dunn sucks. Oh, no argument from my illustrious co-host. Thank you, folks. I love it. Love it so. So, I don't know if you guys have been catching it, but beach volleyball is making its return. There's some stuff that is going to be playing. They're going to be down here in Redondo Beach and Huntington Beach in the next few weeks. And they're off this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. So you guys can check out beach volleyball. Oh, man, the girls are as cute as ever. Yeah, and my wife says, where are the men? You look for them. I'm not. So... Hell yeah.
Like, they're on the opposite side of the beach. Start walking.
Yeah. I think she wanted to go catch some beach volleyball this weekend. I'm like, I'm in. You take the girls, you go watch the whatever, and I'll go watch the female players. I'll do it in a heartbeat. So, but then she saw the ticket prices and she reconsidered. So, yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize they were $125 per person on Sunday.
Wow.
Hey, you know what? I'll keep buying my Maxim magazine. Thank you very much, folks. So, all right. Big Dog, where do you want to go now?
The beach to watch the beach volleyball.
Okay, but there's nothing here for the
show. Wait, hold on. I have a question. Did MDB Media sponsor trips to go call beach volleyball games? I love that reaction.
I don't think they have anyone calling. Well, hold on. I don't think they have anyone calling the game. Oh, wait, no, they are on TV. We'll ask. We'll ask if that can happen. We will. So,
they're
going to
say yes. You can call all the men's volleyball games, scorekeeper.
Oh, no. And I guess we would if we had to, because we would be peeking over the court to see the other side. But I don't know. All right, Big Dog, where are we going?
Oh, man.
Yeah, what else do you want to talk about?
No, you said you wanted football, so we can go to football.
No, I said we... I already said it. Preseason is starting up. The season starts the second week in September. That's it. Oh, and folks, for those of you that know and don't know, it is official. We did talk about this last week. The NFL will have 8 games on Thursday, but CBS did put it out there and said, if you want to extend the calendar this year, that's fine. So, folks, America's most watched evening, CBS Thursday night, basically is gone. It's gone. They're moving all their shows during football season to the other days of the week, such as Big Bang Theory will be airing on Monday. And, guys, that's the most popular show there is right now. And
yeah.
CBS moved it in a heartbeat to get Thursday night football. Wow. That's amazing. So, there you go. That's all I have on football. Did you want anything else there, pal?
Just on a quick side note, since you were talking about Big Bang Theory, there is a little bit of conjecture out there that there may not be a season 8. Because they're supposed to start filming, I believe, either the end of this week or early next week. The end of next week or beginning of the following week. But no one has signed a contract yet, guys, so no one is under contract. And from rumors that are out there, they're asking for a massive pay raise, the top three guys, the top three actors and actress, of close to $1 million an episode for each one of them. So they're in negotiations on there, and they were at Comic-Con yesterday, I believe, or it was Thursday, that they had their Big Bang Theory panel, and everyone was barred from asking that question about contract negotiations. They only kept it on, other stuff. But as of right now, there will be no Season 8. But I'm pretty sure that, you know, it's just a ploy that they're going to get
the contract signed. It's a big cash cow for CBS, so they're going to sign a contract. They're going to pay what they want, what they're going to pay.
Well, here's the thing, folks. It is a unique series, and it is going to happen. It's funny how that's a big to-do down there at Comic-Con. In the real world over here, I don't think anyone really cares about that because we know there's no contract signed, but it's going to happen. I mean, guys, Variety.com, the trade paper, hasn't bothered to comment on that because this happens often in television.
Yep.
So down at Comic-Con, all the little boys that have no lives.
Hey, watch it.
Oh my God! There's no contract. There's no contract. Cut it out, you moron.
Hey, watch it.
What?
Just saying, be nice. Comic-Con. Be nice about Comic-Con.
Big Dog, did you want me to be nice about Comic-Con?
Hell yes.
Oh. Okay, and by the way, folks, just to give you an idea, CBS signed a 2-year contract extension with the producers of Big Bang Theory for seasons 8 and 9. So, shut up. Shut up. For anyone to say that it's not going to happen, shut up. Get out of town. So anyway, but Penny is hot. Always has been, always will be. So, but Scarlett Johansson is much better since she was chosen by me as Noriega girl. So cut it out. Long before the Big Dog alleges to have said that that was his girl. She was always mine. So there you go.
I've never said about Kaley Cuoco. No, I've never said. I said Scarlett Johansson. Not Kaylee. I've never said anything about her.
I chose Scarlett long before you did. So you're
talking about Big Bang Theory and how that she's been your Noriega girl. I don't even remember that happening, but I just like
Kaley
Cuoco.
Kaley Cuoco has never been a Noriega girl. Never has been. So let's get back to the NFL. Hey guys, there was a player that was suspended two games for beating his wife. And the guy who did drugs got 6 games. Do we have a genuine problem in Major League Baseball or in the NFL right now, Dream? That,
yes.
Hey, it's okay to do drugs and stuff, but if you beat your wife, it's only a 2-game suspension.
There's a lot of conjecture going around. I mean, there's a lot of rumors. A lot of people have their opinions, you know, that Goodell is just too soft, needs sterner penalties. But you know what they say, opinions are like a-holes. Everybody's got one and they all stink. So, I mean, I think that the punishment needs to fit the crime. I think 2 games is too soft. You know, I mean, you pee your wife, you're going to jail. You know, I mean, if all this is found out, you know, you got to look at it like this. If you go to jail for beating your wife, how many years are you getting in prison? You know, if you go to jail for possessing drugs, how many years are you getting in prison? You know, the equivalent is a lot more than 2 games, 6 games. You know, we got Aaron Hernandez for the Patriots for murder. You know, that's, I don't know, this is too much, man. It's so much criminal activity, and it seems like they just kind of hide behind, well, I'm an NFL player, I can get away with it. You know, it's sad, really. I mean, we need to hold them to higher standards, and if they're not going to be cool with that, then guess what? You know, you're still a member of society. You're still, you know, responsible for yourself, first and foremost, and you need to be held accountable for your actions, period. I mean, I'm kind of getting tired of all the, oh, the 49ers are the 4-2 Niners. You know, they're getting 4 to 9 years for every, you know. It's sad, really, is what it is. You know, if they can hide behind that NFL flag and be like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, what are you going to get away with next season? You know, it's just sad. It really is.
Yeah, speaking of sad, Big Dog, let's revisit a little bit of history right now. I mean, we're not going to be revisionist here, but there was a quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers that was suspended for, if I'm not mistaken, 4 games because he did what? He got drunk and he did what to a woman that he was not even charged in and eventually was not charged in. What did Roethlisberger do there, Big Dog?
He supposedly was engaging in sexual activity with this young woman in a bar, and he was going to get rape charges levied against him, which of course never happened. As you remember, the original suspension, I believe, was for either 6 or 8 games, and then it was reduced. So the allegation almost cost him half a season. But yet, you beat the crap out of your wife, and you only get 2 games.
Yeah, it's well, I'm not going to say you beat the crap out of his wife, but Zika put something in the chat room that said Stephon Smith, I think, or is this guy said this seriously? Zeke, I need your help on this, man, because I mean, first of all, we know Stephon or Stephen, Stephen. There we go, Jack Stefanovich. There you go. Did he really say that? Please, if he did, call in. I didn't catch because I, you know, unlike Couch Potato, I never listen to Jack Stefanovich. I just don't. Stephen A. Smith is analphabetic, or for those of you that don't understand the word, it's analphabetic. So I don't even listen to him. So knowing that this guy said, if you don't want to get beat, just don't piss off your man. Did he really say that? Oh, please, honest to God, he did. Tell me the analphabetic a-hole actually said that. Lie to me, please. Just lie to me. There's a TV show. Lie to me. So,
they're going to suspend him for a half hour.
Okay, Zeke has a link in the chat room. Media, it's the ESPN Stephen Smith to women. Don't do anything to provoke men into beating you. Here's the article. And, please tell me this video. Fresh off his controversial defense of Tony Dungy's gay comment, Stephen A. Smith has a message to all women outraged by the NFL player Ray Rice's paltry suspension for domestic abuse. Don't say anything that could make your man beat you. Not about him, then. It's about you, and here's what I mean by that. Smith said in a long monologue addressing the women watching contingent on First Take today. I think that just talking about what guys shouldn't do, we get to also make sure that you can do your part to do whatever you can to make sure it doesn't happen. Oh, hold on a minute. Oh, Stephen A. Smith. So this is the woman that dresses provocatively. You're saying the woman that dresses provocatively asked to be raped. Oh, my God. I'm going to follow up on this. If Stephen A. Smith did really say this, I mean, this
call
is tantamount.
For the company, ESPN should be calling for his head right now.
Unlike others like him, he's got a small wee-wee. Why do you think he's always yelling on screen? Why do you think he's always yelling on air, Stephen A. Smith?
I wonder how many people are actually going to get that one.
Thank you, Dream. That was funny. Big Dog hasn't started laughing yet. But I'm going to bring him on right now. Please, Couch Potato, tell me it ain't so. Right now, Big Dog, Dream, Sonny, nothing personal against you guys, but I love Zeke right now. I do, passionately, if it's true. And if it's not, you can go to hell. But anyway, go ahead, Sonny.
Well, no, I haven't seen the thing.
Oh, you're out of here. Anyway, so we're going to continue on with... Just kidding.
Okay.
Just kidding. Go ahead. I was only kidding. Go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
No, I haven't seen it. No, but here's the thing. It's really simple. He sometimes he doesn't realize where he's at, and but I think some. Well, I think also sometimes he gets the okay from the production. I really do.
Uh-oh.
I mean, because some of the crap he says, he should not be even mentioned. Okay, and just because he's Stephen A. Smith, he's allowed to say it and he's allowed to get away with it. See, I was thinking about this yesterday. Some of the things that I see up on Facebook, you know, how, you know, and this is, it's just one of my pet peeves, just really ticks me off. They'll sit there and they will degrade each other back and forth, and I'm talking about black people. You know, they'll have, it was the thing that set me off yesterday, and I kept quiet because it made me angry. It is about a white basketball player who's really good, and they were talking about, you know, oh, the white boy can play, the white boy can play. God, could you imagine if a white person said, well, the black guy can play, the black guy can play. Oh, geez, we'd be all over the place with how racist that is. You know, so but since they're black, they're allowed to get away with it. I've got a problem with it, and people, and just him coming out, and, you know, I Stephen A. Smith sometimes, like on this situation, like I said, I don't know this, but this is a quote, he says, don't do anything to provoke men into beating you. Listen, that is, you know, that's dangerous territory, even for ESPN. I'm sure he probably will hear about that, and he won't talk about that again. But he's got to be careful with what he says on First Take. And here's another thing. I bet you a dime you won't be able to find that segment in video today. Now, I got the website that they put this up on, but I bet you if you go to ESPN and the video that they have that they put up for First Take and you can watch it and stuff like that, that one will be very conveniently clipped out, guaranteed. And I'm just doing that off the top of my head. If anybody can find that actual video via ESPN, I would be shocked. Now, if someone else got it and it wasn't ESPN, ESPN will be all over that and say, well, that's copyrighted. It's got to go away. So if it was up on YouTube, I bet you it won't last very long if it's not an ESPN YouTube. So, you know, they just got to be careful with what they do, and they will cover it up, and they'll back it off, and they'll edit it completely out as if it didn't happen.
Okay, well,
you're going to be doing lots of charity work with the women's groups coming up, I bet.
Oh, no. Men like Stephen A. Smith don't do charity work. I actually did listen to it right now, and there is another side to the story. You will need to listen to it for yourself. But still, I clearly saw, because I wanted to make certain, and I heard it, Stephen A. Smith does talk about how he would react and how people should know if someone's in this. You need to listen to it. But his final thought is, but you women still need to know that there is a way that you need to act. Do not provoke your men. Folks, listen to it, see it, you know, I thought a man is a man that does not hit a woman. A man that has to hit a woman is not a man. So Stephen A. Smith, nice try, dude. If you, women shouldn't provoke men. Yes, that's why you need to see everything he said. But he finishes it off by saying, hey, yo, girls, don't provoke your men. Yeah, because he's saying, because you know what they're going to do. Oh, well, you know what? Nice try, dude. Yeah, that's true, but I don't think you did a good job about this one, Stephen A. Smith. Way to go, buddy.
Well, hold on. I get his point to an extent.
There is
no
point.
No, stop. I get his point, but I want to go on the reversal of that, scorekeeper. If you are a woman who knows your man will do this, then you not be with that man. So, you know, there's a stupidity portion of it. If you know your man's going to get mad and beat you, you need to go someplace else. If you're not with a man that you know that won't hit you, then you need to be with a different man. That's just stupidity. So if you're a woman who has direct knowledge or advanced knowledge that your man will lift a hand to you, you know, that's just stupid. They need to be done with that. But that doesn't mean that he needs to promote this out up on national television. That's just stupid. So,
well,
you know why
he went on this tirade? Because he had to defend Tony Dungy, his boy. You know, he had to defend him.
Yeah.
That's why he went on this. But, folks, hey, Big Dog, I want to ask you, in basketball, just off the top of your head, do basketball players beat their wives? I know I'm generalizing, but there's a point here. Do basketball players beat their wives? And I'm going stuff in the news, stuff where they actually do get taken to court. I mean,
I don't know.
We know. Hold on. Can you think of any off the top of your head? No, huh?
Other than Kobe Bryant from a few years ago, no. And that was
okay,
a whole different case. It wasn't him beating a girl.
Yeah,
but
okay,
no.
All right. All right. Point taken. Hockey. I don't really know of any wife.
No.
How about golf? Other than having his ass kicked by one, Wood North.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I mean, how many wife beaters are there in golf? Let's go to NASCAR. Hell, let's go to volleyball. Let's go to tennis. Let's go to soccer. Well, okay, they eat each other. But anyway, rugby. Wife beaters. Let's finish off with Major League Baseball. Wife beaters.
Not wife beaters. I mean, they're where they beat the other players, or they beat the assistant managers.
I'm not talking about when they slap each other, dude. That's baseball. They slap each other. But in the NFL, you think of NFL, and there's a list of wife beaters.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Unfortunately. And they also beat their mamas, too. We know that. And I don't know baseball players that have beat their mama, or basketball players, or hockey players, or soccer. But in the NFL, we get guys that are carrying guns. Well, they did in the NBA, too. Carrying guns, acting stupid, beating their girlfriends, their wives, their mamas.
Their mistresses.
And this happens on a regular basis. And
well,
what is the
I will
NFL
put
do?
This.
Well,
I'm going to put
Sonny.
The.
What is the NFL
I'm going to put
do?
The audio up on the show.
They put a 2-game suspension. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Sonny. I already heard it. I would let everyone listen to it. Why? You want to put it on right here, right now?
No, I'm going to put it on my show because I got to upload it into the file. So that we'll start on that up on my show, and I haven't heard it. And as we speak, I am recording it off of that website that was put up in the chat room, and I'm recording it. And it's only 2 minutes and 35 seconds long. That seems so. We will do that at the top of the hour, and then we'll jump more into that.
Yeah, Matt, thank you for that. The bottom line is you can't hit women, period. And why would you want to? Even if the woman that you've chosen to love, whether it be your girlfriend or your wife, or I'm sorry, your boyfriend and your man, whatever, why would you want to hit them? Even if they're mad at you and they might even hit you, why do you want to turn around and hit them? That's the issue. But then now, scorekeeper, commissioner, all that being a jerk, gladly pointed out, why is it that a lot of NFL players, and this is by far and away a lot, yes, Chuck Knoblauch was recently arrested and charged with beating his wife. Yes. And I'm not that stupid.
Jason Kidd hit his wife with a French fry.
Okay, you're right. You're so right. Jason Kidd.
Is that what he's calling it now?
He is a wife beater. You're so, no, I'm sorry. He's a fry beater. He's a fry beater. So, you're right. dream. Now, am I exaggerating, or is this really NFL?
I'm appalled, actually. I don't know. Maybe it's the way I was raised. Maybe it's me. Maybe there's something wrong with me. But I was under the impression that nobody controls my actions, that nobody is going to cause me to do anything that I don't want to do. Rape, murder, beating wives, cheating. I mean, those are things that I have control over as a human being. As far as I was concerned, nobody can get me to do something that I find morally wrong that I don't want to do. I'm going to throw that in there, that I don't want to do.
Well, there you go, though. You just said the magic word. You didn't feel the morality of it. These guys have no morals.
Exactly. Oh. But it's not just morals. It's ethics.
I think it's about ethics, it's about control.
Yes. I was getting there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, we only have five minutes, so, you know, whatever. But,
yeah, you know what, guys? It is about control, and hold that thought real quick. But, guys, some people don't have ethics. Some people don't have morals. But there is still something else, and sorry for being biblical, but everyone will understand this. Hey, if you don't have morality, fine. You don't have ethics, fine. But guess what? Give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God. There are still laws that we have to follow. And I don't mean to say anything, but if you lift your hand to someone, you kind of broke the law, period. So it's not whether you have morals or not or ethics. It's against the law.
Well, that's what ethics is. You know, you're following the law of the people. You know, literally, even if he takes a swing at his wife and misses completely, that's still considered assault. You know, your ass goes to jail unless you're in the NFL. You get suspended for 2 games or you're suspended for a game and you pay a fine. You know, that's what bothers me. It's we search for these people that have a history of violence because it makes them do better in the game. It makes you want to beat the crap out of the guy across from you. You know, and you have that history of violence. You're raised to fight. You're raised to hit. And you're raised in this game, I'm saying, not by parents, but I mean you're raised within this game. Hurt the other guy. How are you going to get ahead? Hurt the other guy. Hit him, knock him to the ground. That's how you solve your problem. Your guy wins. We celebrate this violence, and that's part of the game. You know, back to gladiators and arenas and lions and all sorts of crap. You know, that's the bloodthirsty nature of man, and we've created these laws around that to stop us from doing that. You know, because we want to fight. We have that fight or flight inside of us, you know, that survival instinct. You know, and we translate that on the football field or in a hockey rink. You know, but somehow, like Sporky was saying, in football, this seems to just pop out even more. You know, for some reason, you know, you take off the skates in hockey and you can go back to a normal life. For some reason in football, you take off the cleats and go home and beat your wife. You know, and that isn't acceptable. And until football comes to terms with that, I mean, they have full psychological evaluations on every single player they plan on drafting, every single player they plan on coming in, and they have to run a calculated risk. Like, all right, we know this guy is most likely going to end up in jail within the next 5 to 10 years. Do we only offer him a 4-year contract, or we give him 6 years? It's true.
Come on,
Big
Dog.
True.
You know that was funny. That was a great comment, Big Dog, and you're not laughing.
Oh, I'm laughing.
Oh my God,
oh,
dream. That was a serious comment. That was so classic. Hey, in the chat room, Tim says Rice should have been banned for at least half the season. There are too many thugs in the NFL. Matt Alvarez says that he doesn't know of a wrestler who hit his wife years ago, and that was Steve Austin. So Cuervo says, Ray Rice, 2 games for hitting his wife on tape, and Josh Gordon gets suspended for a year, possibly for smoking some pot. Yes, what a freaking joke. And Tim finishes it off It was funny because, you know, we mentioned that the basketball player threw a French fry. Tim says if it was McDonald's fry, it would be assault with a deadly weapon.
It was a McDonald's fry.
Yes. It was assault with a deadly weapon. I had to get that one in there. But, guys, here's everything that you guys are saying. Here's another one by Tim. They've been sheltered and protected since college, and they believe they're above any scrutiny or laws. Yes. And the law doesn't apply because of the way they've been protected since their teen years.
Yeah,
yep.
Lobster. I mean, you can go steal some lobster and everybody's just okay with it. I mean, you know, steal some ramen, everybody'd feel sorry for you. But lobster, I mean, that's just taking it a step.
You know what? The big dog and I, and now Dream to a lesser extent, we can tell you, we've worked in the retail field. When someone steals from your establishment, what do they steal? They steal perfume, they steal a jacket, usually the most expensive jacket you have, most expensive perfume, cologne, whatever. In the years that I was in retail, how many did we catch that were stealing food, guys? Now, I'm not talking about a kid stealing a candy bar.
Okay, I'm gonna come out and say it, because I know everybody's thinking it. The number one things that we get stolen from my retail establishment, I work at a pharmacy. I will not say which one because I like to continue working there. We get prophylactics, condoms, I mean, birth control, lube. That's always stolen. And then we get high-priced drugs stolen. But the things that piss me off the most are the beer runs. But what I consider theft is even worse than just someone grabbing and running are the people that come in the women that come in with their like Gucci bags, Louis Vuitton, or the men that come in all dressed up and they come in, they buy they 30 pack of beer, you know, they got their bottles of wine, they got their cigarettes and they got their chips and their candy and whatever. And then they swipe their EBT card. Cash. Pisses me off. Because you're stealing from everybody. You're stealing from everybody that's worked so hard.
Yeah, you know what, Dream? That's going to be a conversation that we're probably going to have, and I'm going to invite people to comment on Monday. I want to give a quick taste. There is something that we're going to be discussing. I'm going to have a blog up this weekend. You can check out my blog site. It has to do with Detroit and the water bills that are going on right now, folks. Some ugly, ugly stuff. But we'll talk about that on another day. My blog will be out. I will post it. I've already written it. I just haven't put it on the computer. But I appreciate you say that, Dream, because that's going to be a topic that we're going to be discussing real quick. Sonny Clark, we're going to be moving on over to your program in a few moments. We have over a minute. I want to thank you, Sonny, for joining us, even when your wife took your phone. Did you acquiesce to your wife, or did she just come take it, bonk you on the head, and say, "Money"? What did she do? No? She didn't say anything? Oh, I think
she took it back.
His program. No, he did. He wasn't on his program. Big Dog, I want to thank you for being on with us in the program again. Glad you have it back 2 weeks in a row now. Want to thank everyone in the chat room. We had quite a few people in the chat room. Don't forget to catch Tim McLeod. Thanks, Tim. You can catch him every Sunday night, and I think it was awesome. And, of course, Matt Alvarez has his program on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on this channel, the Sports Opinion Show. And stay tuned for some big news from us over the next few days. We have an advertiser. We have an advertiser, and you're going to start listening to him next week. But we're out of here, guys. Go on over to the Break It Down Show. We'll see ya. Peace! Did I say goodbye? You guys can say goodbye. Go ahead. I was waiting for you. No? No? Big Dog, you're still there. Fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. Please drive carefully and arrive home safely. Good night.